Welcome to Wine by the Case,
where we uncork legal insights one bottle at a time. And here we're going to be doing a single estate vintage to even make it more appropriate for one bottle.
I don't know how she thinks we're going to drink more than one bottle. But anyways, so, and just for clarification, we don't drink the whole bottle. Even though we're making jests about this. Currently, I don't know, it's like 10 in the morning. All right, so Chris, you have an interesting story to tell us about that you really thought was kind of intriguing and connected like the whole wine by the case.
It's connected to wine by the case. We've had a couple of episodes. We've talked about fraud. We've talked about infringement. This pulls it all together. So before we talk about that, I want to show you what the wine is today because it relates very much to it. This is a Chianti Classico. And if you know Chianti, you know it's from Italy, you know it's from particular regions, you know Florence is famous for it, and you know we always think of Anthony Hopkins and I ate his liver with a nice bottle of Chianti. So this is actually a single estate, which makes it even more
specific. You might want to say what movie that is because we
do
have people that
Silence
are not
Lambs.
Over 50, that are younger
but
than 50 that watch
it. There is a new series where they talk about it. But
okay.
This is a Cafaggio. Why that's important too.
I like the name Cafaggio, and she's going to tell you with like if you remember our Vegas episode,
we tried a Cafaggio when we were at Italy on our wine tasting.
But wasn't it a Spanish Cafaggio?
No, it was Italian.
Oh.
But
don't you just love the word Cafaggio? Cafaggio. It sounds something naughty.
Well,
like naughty, naughty, naughty.
Exactly.
I was Cafaggioing last night.
You know, kind of like canoodling or that. But this is a single estate. It's got the nice information on there. Where
what
it
does
is
single estate mean?
That means it's only the grapes from that grower.
Okay.
So when you think of wine in America, which has a ton of added in that, was it 75% of wine is bought from Bogle Vineyards?
Okay, I don't like this. I didn't like it in Vegas. I don't like it now. I don't like it here. I don't like it there. I don't like it green eggs and ham.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
So this
but
is,
I don't know so sure why when she knows I don't like it that she
well
picked, why did you pick this if you knew I didn't like
because
it?
Because this is a single estate vineyard and we're talking about wine fraud. So
okay.
Why that's important is we
well
you know,
do you want to taste it?
I do want to taste it, but I do
You liking this either.
I don't think I liked it, but I do like a Chianti, so let's try it. I'm gonna do my little swirl here.
I generally always like a Chianti, but I don't like this Chianti. It's like bitter, it's sharp,
it's thin.
It's not, I don't like it. I mean,
we
I guess
like
if you.
Fagio, but we don't, it's thin.
You ate it with a lot of cheese, maybe, it would be.
Yeah, I think with Parmesan it would be
like
good.
Some
Reggiana.
Really sharp
yes.
cheese, maybe, some Limburger.
But here's the deal.
What kind of wine would you eat with Limburger cheese?
Usually you want to go a little lighter and fruitier in that case.
Not this. Or
no.
This is light.
No, this is light red, though. So when we look at this bottle, it tells us everything we need to know. We think we can rely
I'm gonna
on it.
I'm going to sit back.
We can
listen
rely
to
on
the
it.
Story.
Yes, because it says single estate, tells us where, tells us all the things in the back, tells us everything about who's doing the distribution. It has a nice little detail about the vineyard, the grower.
Had a cork.
It did have a cork. It doesn't. It's got a flat bottle, but Chianti does. Flat bottom. Chianti always has it. Most of you think of Chianti Italian restaurants, they bring out the round bottle with the rope around it. That's the old school Chianti. There's some really expensive Chiantis. And if you really want expensive Chianti, you can pay up to $20,000 a bottle at a wine auction. Now, how would you feel if you paid $20,000 for a bottle of wine and it wasn't a Chianti? Instead,
first of all,
it's a red blend.
I personally would never spend $20,000. I would rather have a Birkin.
Well, I understand that, but there's a lot of wine collectors out there, particularly in Asia, where they want to be able to be a player, and they want to have a wine cellar that makes the
they
businessman.
They already have the Birkins.
That, yes. That makes a businessman,
okay.
That, you know, makes them
no,
envious.
No, I get it. It's like art.
It
I
is,
get it.
It is. So you buy it. 20 years later, 30 years later, because you're aging certain things, you find out it's a fake. So that's the thing I wanted to talk about. In October of last year, they arrested a group that was counterfeiting labels. The labels themselves. So fine French wine. Really, you know, some fantastic
Which, by the way,
Bordeaux
I would think would be pretty easy.
It's not. Because the experts know that this paper was made in a certain year. They do. They're that. If you're going to sell somebody,
they're like aged wines already.
Yes, allegedly, because what was inside them was complete shit.
Right, but they were, you're saying, so how old were the wines that they were?
So if you're selling them at auction for $20,000 now. Mm-hmm.
So what year is that, approximately?
Well, again, take 2025, subtract it, but most of this is going to be 30 to 40 years old.
30 to 40, okay.
30 to 40, when you're talking $20,000 enough a bottle. Okay. And then they were selling them in lots, $100,000, $150,000 for the lot, because then you usually kind of get one at a really reduced price if you buy in a lot. So again, if you're buying wine at that rate, you're putting it in your cellar. So you don't even know you've been duped. You don't know. So they arrested.
But you would think that you would have somebody at the auction house would be double checking that, like at an art house.
They were. That's the thing. They really were. This group was so good that they even found paper from the years so that they could say, no, it's this, it's that. They copied it so well that it fooled the experts at the wine
houses. So how did they find it?
So they found it.
How did they find out?
They found out about it because somebody actually opened a bottle. They didn't put it in their cellar. They opened a bottle and went, this is shit. This is nowhere near a fine.
But, okay, so in fairness, though, it's possible that you have bought.
A bad bottle. Absolutely.
Well, so for instance, how we got this is a different story, but we had gotten a lot of, like, aged champagne that was, like, 20 years old. And it hadn't been stored, and I was super excited about it. And it hadn't been stored correctly, and it was all nasty.
It was vinegary.
It was beyond nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we kept popping them,
and
popping them, thinking, okay, this one's off, this one's off. Right. And then we realized that because the whole box of it was bad, nasty, that it was
hadn't been stored properly.
So why wouldn't they automatically case?
A single estate vineyard, which is why I really want
to. No, but if you're buying it, you're not buying it from the estate.
No,
you're buying it from a secondhand that could have stored it
wrong. Single estate Burgundy, and it's not Burgundy in that bottle. It's
you're saying it wasn't, they didn't even go with the same.
Nope.
Like, they didn't even go with a similar. They didn't go with a similar type
of wine. Two Buck Chuck was basically inside it.
Oh my God! Why didn't they at least put like a similar type wine?
Because they knew they weren't going to open it. They knew they didn't think they were going to get caught. They weren't expecting somebody to open a $40,000 bottle of wine, but they did, and they took it back to the auction house and went, "This is a problem." So of course the auction house is going to do exactly what my friend here said.
They're going to
test
it,
and they're like, "This isn't Burgundy."
Right.
This isn't Burgundy, and then they start. Because that winery is still around, that vineyard's still around.
So they didn't go and finish the whole bottle.
Oh, no. No, it was they took a sip and went, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And so they checked with the, again, a lot of these are 300-year-old vineyards. I mean, these are family estates. And like, that's not ours. They tasted it and said, this isn't ours in any way. This isn't Burgundy. So when you look at the label fraud, that's one of the things they charged them with. There was, for the ringleaders, it was a Russian. It was an Italian, and it was a Frenchman.
Did they go back, and were they able to double or backtrack the other bottles
that
organization had maybe put up for auction?
I'm hoping
they are. Or were they doing, was it like an organized crime thing that they were doing under different entities or people whatever?
It's organized crime, but they had the same three ringleaders.
Was it the same vineyard? All the bottles were from the same vineyard?
No, they had that much of an artistic person who could create that level of recreating a label. And again, they got the right paper. They did everything
did
that made this.
Did they get the person who, the counterfeit person who was actually doing the
label? I
haven't
seen they got that yet, but they did make $154 million.
Okay.
That's a lot of just.
So maybe he went somewhere else.
Yeah, or maybe he's swimming with the fishes. They don't want any more information getting out there because this is definitely organized crime. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And what was what were they charged with?
So they were charged with fraud, and then.
Although the Russians don't usually, that's not their MO. The fishes.
No.
They like the exfiltration.
Okay.
Throwing people out of high buildings. Yeah.
So.
In my opinion, that's what I heard.
Yes.
I don't know that for sure. That's allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes, what I heard. I don't know.
And the other thing was, when you look at the fact that they were charged in both Italy and France, I think that was a smart move. Because the answer was then they didn't have to deal with, well, the Italian isn't subject to French jurisdiction, and the French. So they made sure that they have two cases going, and the two countries are cooperating because...
coordinating it.
This is embarrassing.
Are they incarcerated right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This is embarrassing. I mean, you don't want your vineyard, your 250-year-old family establishment, which has gotten, 98 ratings for a century sort of thing. I know, again, they didn't start the rating system until a couple years ago, but still, they have always been fine wine. And to know that somebody could recreate your label, put absolute rot into the bottle, and sell it for $50,000. I mean, that's horrifying to that family's reputation.
Kind of funny.
Well,
I just think it's kind of funny because, first of all, who the heck would spend that much on a bottle of wine, number one? But, it's your money. You can do whatever you want with it. And number two, it's just so funny to me that somebody could pull this off. Now, we can't really speak about the legal implications because this is international law, and neither one of us are licensed in what was it, France
and Italy.
So we can't really talk about that, but it would be a crime if they were if it happened in the United States and they were charged and there was some connection to the United States, and
that's
it would
the piece they're still looking at.
Yeah, fraud.
Who bought it in the United States?
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of these were sold at international auctions, but there's no doubt there's a huge contingent in New York that goes to these auctions.
And this could be a cleaner case for the Southern District of New York's racketeering charge.
Yes. If you saw
that,
a
jury
episode,
probably would be more able to swallow the pill and do a conviction than Diddy.
There is no doubt. So I just find it absolutely fascinating that somebody, sat there and said, well, if we just fake the labels, and they got the right person, and they spent the time and effort, and they...
Those criminals are clever, though.
They are.
But I do think it is very similar to, art.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
There's,
if you get
art fraud out
a
there
very
too.
Good forger for art, this happens. People spend millions of dollars on when they're thinking they're getting whatever, Picasso or whatever, and in fact that it's a fake.
It's a fake
by a
good forger.
A very good forger. So,
yeah. But I mean, to get the same paper, I think I'd read too on one of the articles that they even had done something to try to age the glue.
Well, because if you think about it, that's one, like when the limited
the experts,
art fraud, they look at all of those, the
age
paint,
of the paint,
what the compound of the paint is, or the ink in this case.
Age of the canvas.
Yeah, all of that, of those, how you would do certain things.
And I thought you'd have to find a cork from 40, 50 years ago, because you're not fooling these really high-end auction houses that easily. You're not.
But are they even opening it up to look at the cork at that point?
Well, you can usually see the cork at the top, though.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, depending on how old the wine is.
That wine, if it was covered. But we're not talking 100 years old. We're talking 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
Even though that sounds like a long time ago, we're only talking the 90s.
Right.
So.
But particularly for some of the French and Italian wines that were up for auction, that's when they're considered, the 30 to 40 years is when it's like crack it open for your special occasion.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be at its maximum. But again, not your stinky champagne. These people have wine cellars. They've got someone who's going to turn it. They've got the right temperature.
Right.
And they just spent all this money, and some of them don't even know. I mean, I bet after all this has come out, people are looking at their inventory and going, wait a minute, I bought from that auction house. We're going to have these checked out.
So that makes me think, 20 years ago, my husband bought this scotch, which is another story I'll tell you, because he was collecting champagne, but I kept drinking it. So he went to scotch, because I don't like scotch, and bought this bottle of scotch. This has been sitting there, and he didn't buy it in an auction, but thinking for a special occasion or whatever. I don't know what we're saving for at this point. But yeah, we could open it and it could be
it could have turned.
Could have been a fake.
Yeah.
Or it could have turned.
I don't know. Right. And again, when bad wine turns vinegary, it's not always the fault of the vintner or the viner.
Yeah.
But here, they put just rot gut in it. They didn't even
try.
So
funny. $2 chalk for 20 G's.
Yep.
So anyways, I still, no matter where she makes me try this wine,
she's not drinking it again.
I don't like it, Sam I am. I don't want to drink it. I don't think it's good. If you've had it and you have an opinion, comment below. Tell us what you think.
Tell us
what
we
you
give
think.
It a third chance.
Yeah. Tell us if you think it's crazy town mm-hmm. for someone to be spending $20,000 on a bottle. But I am a big, and especially with this, you know, Amazon wedding everybody's been talking about, I am a big believer that it's your money and you have a right, as long as you obtain that money, you know, honestly, to spend your money however
as
you
as
want.
You choose, yeah.
And if they want to spend $20,000, God bless them. And mm-hmm. I have a right to my opinion that I personally think it's crazy.
Well, we do want to see if anybody out there actually likes the Cafaggio.
Cafaggio. And do you like the name Cafaggio?
Yes, because that's a fun name, but I'm not my jam.
I'm not loving it. Cheers.
Cheers.